to everyone who has taken part in the service so far. Let's just pray briefly before we come and we look at God's word together. Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open our eyes. We pray that you would illuminate our minds to what you would say to us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to turn to the passage that we read just earlier. You might have a Bible, you might have another device that you can look up. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at the passage that we read earlier, 3 through to 10, and then on to verse 14. I wonder, have you ever watched the TV program, Who Do You Think You Are? Who do you think you are? And what happens is they bring in somebody, and then they roll out the experts in genealogy or family trees, and they start to dig into their family history, who their great-great-grandparents were, where they come from, and they find out all the interesting facts about these people. And sometimes that they might not know, sometimes they'd be better not knowing them. Paddy McGuinness discovered that his grandfather had a crucial World War II role. Ollie Mears uncovered his circus-performing ancestors. Ross Kemp learned that his great-great-great, so many times grandfather, was a Marine drummer boy from the Napoleonic era and had survived being shipwrecked at least twice. And I wonder if you thought tonight ever, who am I? And I'm not thinking about who am I in terms of our ancestors, but who am I as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ? What am I as a Christian? What am I standing on? And am I relying on myself somehow for salvation or something that I've done? Or even, is my identity as a Christian just because I go along to this church or to another, to youth fellowship here, to SU in school or to a summer camp, wherever it may be? Well, this passage is gold when it comes to grounding our salvation, who we are, in light of who Jesus is and what God has done for us. If we're in Christ, if we're Christians, I want us to see three blessings that are ours, three things that we can identify as those that mark us out as Christians. Firstly, that we're chosen in Christ. Secondly, that we're forgiven. And thirdly, that we have an inheritance. Firstly, if we're a Christian, if you're saved, you're chosen in Christ. Verse 4 tells us, even as he chose us, he, God, the maker of the universe, chose us. Does that not blow your mind? You know yourself. I know myself. We would never choose ourselves, but God chose us. Back in the Old Testament, we're reminded of what we're like. It says that our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. So that just means that if God's standard is up here, even the very best of the things that we can do only reaches down about here. Think in your own heart and your own mind, even this week, we have sinned. We have failed to meet God's standards, and yet he chose us. So if you think that somehow your standing before God as a Christian is based in your performance, it's not. It's not. And everything that you do in life, in school, in your exams, in your sports team, when you start to fill out UCAS forms in the next few years, the image that you portray in TikTok or Instagram is all about how well you can do, about how you can promote yourself. It's all about your performance. But your relationship with God is not like that. If you're a Christian, it's because he has chose you. He chose you in him. When? Well, the Bible tells us that it was before the foundation of the world. And I know for you young folk down here, you think that no one really lived before 2010 or 2012 or 2014. Nothing really happened before that, did it? Before that is ancient history, but God had a plan in eternity past, before time even existed, which is a lot longer ago than that. And his plan was to choose a people for himself. And when you came, if you're a believer and you prayed the sinner's prayer and you admitted your sin and you believed in the Lord Jesus, and maybe you weren't even sure if it really worked, the Bible says that he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. He was already working out his plan in your heart and in your life. And you coming to him in faith was your response to that. And John's gospel tells us that no one will snatch you out of his hand. How reassuring is that? The assurance that God will not let us go. And what was his purpose in choosing you and other Christians? As God chooses you, He marks you out for something different from the masses of other people that you walk this world with. The end of verse 4 tells us what it is that we should be holy and blameless before him. When God chooses us, he is doing so that we should be holy and blameless before him. And you might say, well, I mess up. I do so many wrong things, and you do, and I do. But later on in this book of the Bible, Paul explains to us that Christ loved the church. So he loved this group of people that he chose for himself and gave himself so that he might present them to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle. In other words, perfect. Because he has chosen us, and because Christ died for us, he gives us his perfection. And we then appear holy and blameless before God, even though we ourselves are like polluted rags. And one day in heaven, we will be holy and blameless. But while we walk here on earth, we're on a journey where we become more like Jesus. So if you're a Christian, the evidence of that is that there should be a fruit in your life that demonstrates you becoming more like him. Love, gentleness, patience, kindness. Amazing. Why? Why would God choose us? Well, his word says, because he loved us. He set his love on us. And the very next verse tells us that he's adopted us into his family. I'm not sure what your family's like. And sometimes we go through difficult things in our families because we live in a fallen world. But God's family is a perfect family. And he is a perfect father. And we are his children if we belong to him. Many of you are members of clubs. Maybe it's a swimming club, a gymnastics club, some other club. Some of you might even be getting interested in politics and following a party. Lots of you are supporters of a team. Hopefully, none of you support Arsenal after last night. But all of these things are good in themselves, but they're not the equivalent of being a Christian, or being in the church is not joining another club that you can jump in and out of as you take the notion when you're born again, you're chosen in Christ. This is something which is over all of these other things, shapes your whole life, your eternity, your everything is subject to his lordship. And at your school, and it's just the same as you get older, you look for belonging and identity, and you want to fit in to this group and to that group and the cool crowd or whatever crowd it is. And that's okay, but in his love, Jesus adopts us into his family and never lets us go. And only in him is there true belonging and true fulfillment as we live as a part of his chosen people. Remember that. Build your life on that truth. Stand on it when things are rocky. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I also want to tell you, if you're a Christian, if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're forgiven. Verse 7 tells us, in him we have redemption. What does it mean to have redemption? Well, if you had a friend who was in prison, and I don't recommend you try this, but if you went into the prison and you took them out, you would redeem them. That's the idea of being redeemed. And I'm sure you remember the story from Sunday school where God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and they'd been captive there for many years, and God went down into Egypt and he brought them out of captivity, and so he redeemed them. And that is like our redemption, our forgiveness. We are born captive to sin. And no matter how hard we try on our own, there is no way that we can get ourselves out. We just can't do it on our own. But Jesus has redeemed us. How? Only because Jesus died on the cross could we be redeemed. Could we be forgiven? Someone had to die to take the punishment for our sin, either us or Jesus in our place. What a blessing. We have forgiveness of our sins. Why? According to the riches of his grace. Only by God's grace, not by anything that we have done or could do. What a great God that we serve. And how much grace did he show us? I don't know about you girls, when you fall out with your friends, don't tell me it doesn't happen, or you fellas have fisticuffs over something, and it gets to the stage where you're fed up being fallen out and you want to try and get it sorted out. It's not worth it. And when you come together and you try to sort it out, do you show much grace to the other person, or do you grudgingly say sorry, or maybe you don't even say anything, you just pick up and you move on with as little grace as you can muster? God's grace to us is not like that. Verse 8 tells us he lavished grace on us. That's how God treated us. He lavished his grace, which we didn't deserve, onto us. Back at the very beginning of the Bible, just after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God cursed the snake. And just at the end, God gives us a glimpse of hope, of his plan. Remember that same plan that started before the foundation of the world, that the broken relationship between God and his people would be fixed one day. And how can that happen? Because we're forgiven. Because we're redeemed. We have that relationship, our relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian, you're forgiven. But maybe you're sitting here this evening and you're not a Christian. You've never put your trust in the Lord. you don't have these blessings that we're talking about tonight. You're not redeemed. You're not forgiven. Jesus is not carrying the punishment for your sin, but you can be forgiven if you come to him. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, that just means to admit that we do wrong things, that we've sin in our lives. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That just means that he will do it. He will forgive us. There's no maybe he will. Maybe he won't. If we admit our sins and ask Jesus to be our Savior, God will forgive us. And you will be redeemed. And you will be made holy and blameless before God. Third blessing that we see here, which we have as Christians, verse 11 tells us, in him we have an inheritance. If we are in God's family, he gives us an inheritance. When someone dies, they leave often an inheritance to someone, usually family. And it's usually made up of money or property or whatever they owned. And that might be something valuable to the person who receives it, or it might not be that valuable at all. And sometimes people spend a lot of years waiting for an inheritance that for various reasons disappoints them. But the inheritance that God blesses his children with is the most valuable inheritance of all. And who receives it? Verse 13 tells us, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. The inheritance is for those who believe in Jesus. Those who he has chosen and have come to faith in him. So what is it? What is this inheritance that he has for us? Well, the Bible tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life. We will live forever in heaven with God. A wonderful place. And some of you might be looking forward to an inheritance on earth, a farm maybe, a business, money. Some of you look to another inheritance, maybe your education, your GCSEs, your A-levels, your plans for the future, your plans for a specific career, plans to marry the boy of your dreams or the girl of your dreams, to have your dream wedding, plans to get away from home, to get away from Bandura or Ballymoney, to the big city for university or whatever, to see the world, to live the life. But if you're a Christian, this is your true inheritance, the most valuable, precious inheritance that you can have. And the Bible tells us that it is imperishable. It will never break down. It will never rust and fall away. It's undefiled. It's unfading. The sun doesn't get in on it and make it dowdy. It's kept in heaven for you, ready to be revealed in the last day. What a prospect for us. The blessings of being in Christ. The inheritance that is eternal life. Life forever. Life in its fullness. Life with Jesus in a place that is perfect with no sorrow and no sin. Remember, back at the start, who are we? Have you ever thought of that? Who are we as Christians? What is our identity in? What is our foundation on? What are we standing on? Well, we're chosen in Christ. What an amazing thing. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. We're forgiven. We've been redeemed. Jesus paid the price for our sin to set us free. And we've the greatest of all inheritances, more valuable than anything on this earth in the future. Who am I? Because of what Christ achieved, we stand on the firm foundation that we're His, chosen, forgiven. And yet, there are those of you young sitting at the front and older around the back, and in your heart of hearts, you know that these are blessings that you cannot claim as your own because you're outside of Christ. You've not put your trust in God. And there's that sense of need in your heart. We read it earlier. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them. Come to Him. Respond to His leading voice. And that redemption and that inheritance will be yours forevermore. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this passage, this book of Ephesians that lays out so much of who we are in Christ, what God has done for us, the blessings that He has laid before us. We thank You that You chose a people before the very foundation of the world, that You forgive us. It is unbelievable for us to think of a holy God who would forgive a sinful people like us, and yet in Your grace and in Your love, You took the punishment that we deserved. And You give us a great inheritance of eternal life beyond anything that we can compare with. And Father, we pray tonight that for each person met here, that we can claim these truths as our own, that we know Your redemption in our lives, we know Your forgiveness. And if as yet we do not know You as Savior, we pray that You would give us the grace that we need to come to You in faith and in trust tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn, and Laura Jane and the group will lead us as we sing, O Victory.